This is the Oanda Podcast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today I'm delighted to say we're joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed.
Hi, Johnny. Always a pleasure.
Let's start with the latest from where you are, the United States. And the data that we saw yesterday from the services sector was a little disappointing, to say the least.
Private sector activity plunged again. And this time, I think it really rattled markets. Everyone knows the economy is slowing down, but this round of data suggests the economy is possibly weakening at a much faster pace. I think what was surprising is, we saw service sector demand really is struggling in the face of inflation and tighter financial conditions. So I think this is complicating what the Fed is trying to achieve. The Fed is completely focused on fighting inflation, and they know that one of the repercussions of all these rate hikes and removal of stimulus is that the economy is most likely to head into a recession. And it seemed that the economy was showing so much resilience that the consensus was that a recession was likely to happen end of next year. Now, I think if we continue to see the data continue to plunge like this, those calls will definitely be moved forward. So I think you're seeing those flash PMI readings really drawing a lot of concern. And then this morning, we also had the durable goods data and capital goods readings. And I think there was softness there too. So it just seems that a lot of companies they're not doing as well as we thought. I think there's weaker CapEx plans in all these business surveys, and that is bad for GDP readings down the road. So I think you're going to see potentially more declines in defense and aircraft, which is a big part of durable goods statistics, and I think that you're going to probably see that inflation is continuing to be a very annoying problem here. And I think right now what you're probably going to see is that one of the biggest problems for companies remains the labor shortage, and this is one of the things that you're going to see that is troubling. I think that it's not just these hospitality jobs that during the summertime that were which we focused on heavily over the last couple of months, but I think you're seeing there's strong shortages for police officers, firemen, people working rigs. You can't escape this labor market shortage right now, and I think that is complicating the inflation outlook. So I think the risks for Jackson Hole are that you're going to get hawkish pushback from the Fed. And I think that, Fed Chair Powell, he's not willing, he won't be willing to signal, what it will take for them to consider rate cuts. I think he's going to try to cement the idea that the Fed is going to raise rates, they're going to keep them elevated for as long as they can, and that obviously they are aware that they might send the economy to recession, but they need to, otherwise inflation could get really ugly. So I think everyone is looking into Jackson Hole as potentially an opportunity for the Fed to signal that they could be considering a slower pace of tightening, but I think it's still too early. And I think when you take a look at some of these surveys, a lot of people believe inflation has peaked. The minority, around 9%, are thinking that inflation might speed up from here. But I think what's the important risk that right now that remains on the table is that there's a good chance that we could see inflation stabilize here, but that it's going to only go back up during the winter. And if that happens, that is likely to lead the Fed to much more aggressive rate hikes, which this market is not really counting on. So I think that your Fed funds futures are signaling we're going to have, most likely it's leaning towards a half point rate increase, but I think that still if inflation comes in hot, right before the September FOMC meeting, that might solidify the 75 basis point rate increase again. And then we're going to probably see a much slower pace for November, December. But I think there is a growing risk that we could see the Fed even tighten again in February, which would be the first meeting for next year.
And on this side of the Atlantic, Ed, we're even talking about an inflation rate. I've seen suggestions from some analysts, 20%, not the 13% as predicted by the Bank of England. So rather than, as you've just suggested, inflation being fairly steady, at least for the time being, we're talking about figures that we haven't seen since the 70s. And it's a worrying perfect storm. You mentioned labour shortages. Well, of course, with labour shortages come higher salaries and higher wages, which will not stem inflation.
Spot on. I agree with everything you just said.
And looking at markets across the world, they're down today, but not by that much.
Very much so. It's been a quiet session for the EU, and I think you're seeing a lot of this is as markets remain in wait-and-see mode for the Jackson Hole Symposium. I think we've had an interesting ride with the U.S. dollar. I think it's still holding steady just below recent cycle peaks. But I think the outlook for global growth has really changed. I think that it seems the consensus call is Europe is on its way to a recession. China is trying to deliver more stimulus to support their economy, and there's expectations you might get another triple R cut. So I think you're going to see accommodation from China. You're going to see the ECB is now, despite all this weakness, they're still, markets are pricing in a full point of rate increases by the ECB. And I think that it's all about inflation right now. And I think it's pretty apparent that inflation is going to be hitting Europe the hardest. And right now, there's probably expectations that that interest rate differential is widely going to remain in the dollar's favor. And there's not much around that trade. I think we saw euro dollar break below parity, and I think the markets are anxious to see exactly how much stronger can the dollar get, and it seems that could appreciate a little bit more.
Let's talk about oil now, Ed, which is fairly stable at the moment. Last time I looked, Brent crude was around $100 a barrel, WTI at around 94. What is actually happening in the oil market at the moment?
There's a lot going on. I think you have on one side of the equation, focusing on the supply side, everyone is paying close attention to Iran nuclear deal talks. Been talking with other oil strategists, and there's a Vienna meeting being put on the schedule, and there's speculation. Does that mean that the deal is essentially done? This would be welcome news for the world if we could start to see more barrels of crude come from Iran. I think that you're probably going to see that we've been there before. And I think that the likelihood that a deal will get done in the next week or two, yes, it's growing, but I think there's still a lot of skepticism that it'll finally get pushed through. And the problem is that even if it does, what will happen in 2 years' time, when we could have a Republican at the White House, and if they're similar to President Trump's stance, they might be not happy to keep this potential deal in place. So I think Iran is in a very difficult situation right now, but I think their economy would benefit if they were to bring a deal into place here. So I think that's one key story that a lot of traders are focused on. I think the other important thing is there's not a lot of spare capacity in this market, and I think every week we look at the weekly statistics for oil. API last night showed stockpiles fell by 5.6 million barrels. We were seeing few significant builds in prior weeks, and now it looks like there is a lot of momentum here in what's going to remind traders that there's no spare capacity right now. Oil's been heading lower mainly because of global growth concerns and weaker demand outlooks. But I think that where prices are, you would expect shale production to be taking off. It's not. We still have ESG constraints in place. They're not going away anytime soon. And what's really driving the move, especially for WTI, is that we're seeing strong demand for refined product exports. So that means the U.S. is really becoming a beneficiary with the war in Ukraine, and they're now exporting a lot more crude than they ever have. So I think that this is going to, I mean, petroleum exports in July were at the highest level since 1947. So we're seeing major demand here for U.S. crude. So I think that, you know, is going to keep this market tight. So I think oil is in a position where it could be choppy, but I think that the risks are we're going to see potential disruptions over the winter period. And I think that this is really going to, you know, keep oil prices probably north of $100 a barrel. And that's, you know, good news for energy companies, because they've refrained from investing in new production. New CapEx is really non-existent. And I think that will keep this market tight for quite some time.
Finally, Ed, we often talk about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Of course, it's had some big falls in recent days. It's hovering, Bitcoin, that is, around about the $21,000 mark at the moment. Where do you think it's going to go next?
The correlation with Bitcoin and equities completely remains intact. However, what is interesting is that we've started to see over the past year or so, Bitcoin would have a much more exaggerated move than what we would see in equities. So if stocks were down 2%, you would see Bitcoin down roughly 5% or more. What's happening is that we're seeing weakness in equities, but it's not necessarily sending crypto much significantly lower like it has been in the past. So I think there's kind of a floor being made here. The market will completely be focused on what happens at Jackson Hole, and if we get a green light for risky assets, you're going to see Bitcoin is probably going to break out above its $25,000, you know, hurdle that's been rather difficult for it. And I think that, you know, there's a growing chance that the crypto winter could be over. But however, if we get Fed Chair Powell, if he does the right thing and signals that the Fed is going to remain aggressive with fighting inflation, and that you know, massive rate hikes are still very much on the table, and that if he provides some type of guidance on why rates will remain elevated throughout next year, and remove the market's thinking that cuts could happen towards the latter part, then I think you'll see that equities will then stumble pretty significantly. I'm not saying we're going to retest the summer lows, but I think that you could see that be a turning point, and that could lead to Bitcoin, you know, falling, you know, another 10 or 20%, and possibly retesting its summer lows. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of momentum growing in the institutional space for crypto. I think that you're seeing more money is committing to a wide range of crypto stocks, and I think that you're also going to see that if crypto is starting to become you know, a little bit more constructive here, and I think there's a lot of momentum with the Ethereum merge that is expected to happen next month. You know, you really could start to see a lot of things go right for Bitcoin, Ethereum, and a lot of the other top altcoins. So I think this is a major moment here where, you know, we've been consolidating for quite some time, but, you know, we haven't been making lower lows, and that's very, you know, good news for long-term bulls. And I think that this is a market that you're going to see is, you know, going to, you know, still take its cue from what happens on Wall Street. We're getting to a time where Bitcoin will start to trade on its own fundamentals. And I think right now the market is going to welcome that with open arms. The interest from retail traders has been somewhat depressed over the past several weeks. But I think that if you start to see prices trade above, you know, this recent trading range, the momentum trade is waiting. I think you saw a lot of retail traders kind of go back to the meme stock trade. I think crypto still remains a key holding for many, and there's still I think a overall view that there is still explosive growth potential here. And as long as that remains, and I think what we're starting to see is there are more governments, they're trying to figure out how to get involved with crypto. I think that you're going to see that in the end, I think the private sector is now focused on figuring out how to make crypto much more efficient, how blockchain will revitalize the way the world operates. I think there's still tremendous upside here. It's just that we're seeing a lot of big red flags, and as you're staring at a global recessionary fears, that's a difficult environment for risky assets. But I think there will be a time when you'll start to see that Bitcoin will not necessarily be just a straight up risky asset play or leveraged trade of that. So I think a lot of crypto people are getting excited again, and I think that in the next month or two, or after the September FOMC meeting, Bitcoin is above 25,000, then you could see a lot more momentum. And I think that's what a lot of traders are waiting for.
And finally, Ed, you've mentioned Jackson Hole a couple of times. Of course, that takes place on Friday. It feels one of the most significant events in Jackson Hole's history. Am I right?
It's an important one. I think this, it's not going to be like Mario Draghi's "We'll do whatever it takes" speech, or I think what we'll see is if Fed Chair Powell does what he wants to do, he's going to just keep on delivering that message that their policy path is focused on fighting inflation, and I think that he'll kind of push back on some of the dovish spin that some traders initially thought from that post-meeting press conference in July. But I think you're going to see that because they've gotten rid of forward guidance, I think this is going to be a market where, if Fed Chair Powell is starting to become more concerned about the economy, and if the market is starting to initially price in a slower pace of rate hikes, and if it becomes pretty apparent with Fed Funds futures that they're only going to raise rates by a half a point, I think there will be a moment in the next week or two where fixed income will say Fed Chair Powell is having another policy mistake, and you'll see yields surge because they're betting that the Fed is getting inflation wrong. So I think that it's going to be an important meeting. The risk that we get another policy mistake is there by the Fed chair, but I think this should not be a difficult one. I think that he just needs to maintain his hawkish stance, and everyone knows they're data dependent, but I think he needs to nail the point home that they're not considering rate cuts anytime soon. I think that he needs to be able to make the curve anticipate that, and I think that that's where he's going to struggle. But I think overall, we'll see enhanced volatility, and I think that if he does stick to the hawkish script and the markets do believe him, if he's convincing, we could see a much more stronger U.S. dollar, and that would be troubling for a lot of European currencies.
Okay, Ed, thanks very much for joining us today. Really interesting stuff. We'll speak to you again soon.
This is the Oanda Podcast.